Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote to the elect exiles who were facing persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter exhorted them to trust God and to continue living godly lives. He reminds them of their hope in Christ and their high calling. When you want to learn joyful obedience, no matter what your circumstances, look to 1 Peter.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We have ourselves a black and yellow bumblebee. This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday here at Georgia Tech, asking young people the question, if you could ask God one question, what would it be?
What would be the ultimate plan for the universe?
Really?
Yes.
Like, what's the point?
Yes.
What do you think it is?
Currently, I think it's for everybody to continue to better themselves, to see what people can build of what we have with us today and improve what we're given.
And so are you kind of an Indian or an Eastern philosopher?
No, I read various philosophies. I've described myself more of a Machiavellian in terms of philosophy.
Machiavellian?
Yes.
So in other words, you want to be in charge of everything?
Well, not necessarily, but I view that a strong series of policies is necessary and that self-betterment will be one of our ultimate goals.
Uh-huh. And who would you like to have enforcing those policies?
I don't think that any single person is capable of enforcing those policies.
You're supposed to say you. That's the Machiavellian answer. You.
Well, yes, you would work if you was ever perfect, which Machiavellian relies on laws garnering what you can do.
He's the one who's in charge.
Yes, in that situation. He felt that he should ultimately be in charge.
See, that's the problem with totalitarianism right there.
Yes.
It's just the corrupt nature of man.
Yes.
Do you think that man is basically good or bad?
I believe that man is generally good. However, within the terror of being good, we do have a corrupt nature behind it.
Oh, wow. Okay, I disagree completely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I can prove it.
All right.
With you. All right.
Okay.
I think you've got a corrupt nature.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna ask you a series of questions. We'll see if we can prove that you've got a corrupt nature.
Okay.
How many lies in your young life do you think you've told?
Numerous.
How many?
I wouldn't be able to give you a firm number on that.
A lot
one.
Of them.
Yes.
All right. So if I told a lot of lies, what would you call me? What name would you give to me?
Well, of corrupt, of course.
Specifically, though, considering the issue, rhymes with pants on fire.
Liar.
Liar, okay. All right, so you're a liar. Can we agree to that?
Sure.
Okay. How many things do you think you've stolen in your life?
None that I'm aware of.
I'm not talking about like credit card fraud. Mm-hmm. From a sibling, from your mom or dad, downloading music, checking into work but not really working, anything that would be stealing.
Wouldn't really say I've had any of those experiences.
Nothing,
no.
All right. Only you know. Mm-hmm. Okay. How's about being a perfect child? Were you always Johnny on the spot doing everything that you were told to do?
Well, not always, no. Generally, yes. Of course, times you'll do what you want to do rather than...
Don't make me call your mother. I'll ask her. Okay, because you were not just like any other kid. You know,
yes.
You go to McDonald's and you see that kids are just monsters the way they behave and stuff, and you were probably pretty much the same, right? All right, little more probing.
Okay.
Your thought life and your heart. Lusting. Mm-hmm. X-rated thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Lusting after women. Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have.
Okay. How many times today?
Today, maybe a few times.
A few times. Okay.
Yes.
And how old are you?
I am 17.
17. 17?
Yes.
You're going to school here?
Yes, I'm in the early admissions program here.
So you're really smart.
Hopefully.
Dude, wow, so good for you. Well done. So how did you get out of high school that quick?
Well, Georgia Tech is a program that will accept people who rank high enough on paper from their junior year of high school directly without graduating.
Wow.
So I haven't graduated yet.
Good for you. Well, that's terrific. Okay, so lusting. So you're 17. So let's say 5 years a few times a day.
Okay.
All right, you're the math guy. Go. What is it? 365 times 3 would be about 1,000 a year times... So 5,000 times.
Yes.
Inside of your heart, when nobody was looking, you had thoughts that would be, well... Mom and dad wouldn't be really thrilled to know that their son was thinking that. Right?
All right.
Okay. So that, to me, sounds pretty corrupt.
Well, I would hold that's still a corrupt lining within it. The majority of the time, you're working to achieve whatever you view as your goal. However that goal may be.
Okay, that's Machiavellian for sure, what you're describing. But that's still... isn't, that's kind of skirting around the issue of whether you are basically good or basically bad. Hmm. I mean, if you've lusted 5,000 times, assuming, of course, that's a bad thing, and lied a lot of times, and dishonored your parents when you were just being naughty, and maybe coveting, desiring stuff that doesn't belong to you, maybe vulgarity out of your mouth, well, that would make you actually not good, wouldn't it?
Well, that would mean that part of you is not good. However, I would hold that the majority of you could still be good and that working to achieve what you're working on, really.
All right, let's see if we can reason together.
All right.
Let's say I'm a criminal, and I'm standing before the judge, and I've committed 5,000 crimes.
Yes.
Give or take.
Yes.
5,000 crimes. And I said to the judge, but judge, that's just a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to say, part of you? You've broken the law 5,000 times. You are a bad criminal.
Yes.
You got to go to jail.
Yes.
I mean, what if I even said, well, but judge, I've done 5,000 nice things. He'd say, I don't care.
Sure, you're still
a
going.
Bad dude. You've broken the law 5,000 times.
You're still going to be punished for the negative things that have happened.
All right.
Similarly in life, if you continue to do things that would be deemed corrupt.
Let me drop something on you. You see what you think about this, okay? I think you said if you could ask God one question, it would be, what's the point? What are we doing here?
All right. Yes.
Let's say you died and God judged you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you'd be going to heaven or hell?
Really not sure on that one.
No.
I would have to
You've broken his laws at least 5,000 times.
Yes.
And he knows everything you've done, every deed in darkness, every thought that you've had, every time you failed to thank him for error.
Yes.
So he knows that you've broken his laws. What should he do? If he's just and if he's good?
Punishment.
Exactly.
Hmm?
So you would be going to
hell.
Dude, horrible thought. Okay. I happen to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
What does Christianity say is your, the good news of the gospel? What is the way that God has provided so that you don't have to go to hell?
Essentially repenting for your sin.
That's right.
Yeah.
But there's the big component, though, the reason that we do that is because of Jesus.
Yes.
Because he died on a cross. Mm-hmm. The unjust, or the just for the unjust. In other words, the good guy dying for you, the bad guy.
Yes.
He lived the perfect life. Kept all the laws, all the rules that you broke, and he kept them.
Mm-hmm.
He was beaten by men, put on a cross, taking the wrath of the Father on your behalf, so that if you'll repent and put your trust in him, then all of your sins will be forgiven and God will grant you everlasting life. That's the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
Okay. Now that fits into, what are we doing here? Because I think the biblical answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how you glorify God. One of two ways. You will glorify God by living the rest of your life for yourself and breaking his laws, and then he'll give you what you've earned. He'll pay you your wages for what you've done on earth.
Yes.
Sinning, lying, lusting, porn, whatever it happens to be. He's going to give you exactly what you deserve, and he'll send you to hell for that. And he'll be glorified because he's going to get the last laugh, if you will. He'll get the last word. You're in hell because you're the lawbreaker, and he's still sitting on the throne.
Exactly.
Okay. There's another way that you can glorify God, and it's a much grander way. You can repent, say you're sorry and turn from your sins and put your trust in his son, and he'll forgive you so that for all of eternity, everybody can point to you and say, that's how nice God is. He's that kind. He saved that dirty, rotten sinner. That's how good he is. And that is how you can glorify God in this life, is by repenting and trusting his son so that God can be glorified for being a good God and saving a bad guy like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the biblical answer to why are we here?
Yes.
To glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Yes.
What do you do with that?
I believe you have to take a reasoned decision on that. You have to look at what you're going to achieve within your life and how well you value that against eternity, really, in terms of would you live your life as you're currently living now, say you enjoy that, and very much dislike your eternity, versus live your life to that standard now and have a blissful eternity and glorify God in that manner.
You actually just said something that Jesus asked. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his very soul?
Yes.
You just kind of expanded that whole concept right there. Mm-hmm. So do you believe that, young man? Do you believe that Jesus died for you, a sinner?
Yes, I do.
Have you repented and put your trust in him?
No, I have not.
Hmm. So thinking time maybe on the bench here at Georgia Tech today.
Of course.
Something for you to ponder, isn't it?
Of course. Yeah. Always time to reconsider things.
Yeah. Did you go to church as a kid?
No, I did not.
Yeah. But you've heard this before, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Well, it's really important that you, you know, you can sit and read a newspaper article, and it really doesn't affect you. Mm-hmm. But something has to happen with the information I just gave to you that's different than just reading a newspaper article. It's got to be real. Uh-huh. First of all, the story itself has to be real. The yes. newspaper article has to be true. But you have to respond to it. It's not enough to just get it, read the story or hear the story and go, that's interesting.
Yes.
I find that fascinating. Mm-hmm. You've got to respond to it.
Yes.
In childlike humility and repentance and faith. Because mm-hmm. if you don't do that, God says that you'll show up for judgment day and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yes.
So think about it, because I would tell you it's true. Mm-hmm. And your reason for living is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And he wants to do that primarily by saving you. He will send you to hell because he's just and he must. Mm-hmm. But he would much rather demonstrate his kindness by saving a guy like you and me. So think about the gospel. Do you have a Bible?
Yes, I do.
Good for you. Get home and read the Gospel of John and just All right. read about it. And don't trust me. Mm-hmm. I'm a complete stranger, a guy mm-hmm. on a bench with a microphone. Mm-hmm. Read the Bible and see if you agree that God is your Savior, that Jesus is your Savior, and he died to save you. Repent and put your trust in him. Mm-hmm. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
You're an interesting young man. Thanks for the chat. Right. I enjoyed this very much. Thanks for the chat, dude.
Thank you.
All right, see you, man.
You.
Goodbye. Enjoy the book. Pray for him, would you? This is Wretched Radio.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, finding Bible teachers you can actually trust is not as easy as it used to be. There is a lot of content out there, but not all of it's faithful. That's what Fortis Institute is building. We've brought together a team of fellows, people like Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Todd Friel, Dr. John Krotz, Libby Clawson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and they're all committed to teaching the word without apology. These aren't influencers. They're not chasing trends. These are serious teachers doing serious work. And the reason that we've been able to bring voices like this together in one place is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who find value in what we're doing at Fortis Institute. And if you appreciate what we're doing and you want to be a part of it, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Help us to continue building something that matters. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool. It's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it than what they already believe. Think about it. Two scientists can look at the exact same data and walk away with opposite conclusions because each one brought a different worldview to the table. Science also leans on a few things it can't prove, that the universe stays orderly and that our minds can actually grasp truth. Both make the most sense if a rational God made it all. You take him out of the picture and you're left trusting that chaos somehow adds up. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. Do you think God explodes with anger when you sin? Remember the word impassibility. It means that God is without passion. His affections, such as wrath, anger, and love, are always foreknown, voluntary and controlled, and they are always consistent with God's unchanging nature, and his wrath has been settled on the cross. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Young man, hold on. While you're walking at your slow galloping pace, which is just my style, could I talk to you on the radio while you're walking?
What for?
I want to ask you some questions about you.
Sure.
And I got a big surprise for you, and if you don't like it, you can punch me in the nose and walk away. All right? Dude, how tall are you?
6'6".
Six? No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
Dude. No, because I think I'm taller than you, and I'm not 6'6". No, wait a second. Stand up straight. Oh, maybe you are taller than me.
I don't know. Can't really tell. Maybe
the spiky hair?
Yeah. Might be the hair.
Yeah, could be. All right. What are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Mechanical engineering.
So you want to be, let me guess, a mechanical engineer?
Good guess. That's pretty good.
Pretty sharp, aren't I? How old are you?
19.
19 years old. You come from where?
Brazil.
Really?
Yes.
You speak English well.
Oh, I've been here for about 5 years now, so...
But you grew up speaking Spanish, or is it Brazilian? Is there a difference?
It's Portuguese, but I grew up in a Spanish-speaking country, so...
So you are a Spanish speaker?
Yes, sir.
You have no accent.
Thank you.
Not that I would care if you did, but I'm just saying, you've done well with that. Which language is easier?
By now, I'd say English, because missed out on Spanish for a long time, so I don't get to practice
But technically,
much.
Which one is easier to learn, to speak?
Oh, to learn and speak? I would say English.
Here's the rule that I've heard. English is the easiest language to learn. It's the hardest language to learn how to speak well.
That could be true, yeah.
Because the grammar is not very Greek
Spanish
or Latin.
It's real too many variations to all the words, and it's a lot of memorizing, a lot of things.
Sure
things
is.
That change.
All right, now, in Brazil, it is Roman Catholic, correct?
Yeah.
Are you Roman Catholic?
Yes.
Good. Tell me why I should be a Roman Catholic.
I don't know. I mean, it's all your choice. I'm not going to convince you.
No, I want you to. Please.
I have no idea. I could not tell you. I mean, I haven't been to church in a while, but that's just how I was raised. I don't really know the beliefs and everything.
So do you think you are really a Roman Catholic?
I am just by my parents. I'm not really, I mean...
I'm not trying to be sarcastic. What's your dad do for a living?
He's a Spanish teacher.
Are you a Spanish teacher?
No.
So are you sure you're Roman Catholic?
Yes.
Okay, so... But you don't know why a guy like me should become a guy like you.
I don't.
Other than we could be on the Catholic volleyball team together and clean up.
If they have one, yeah.
If they have one. All right. So you don't have an understanding of the basic beliefs of Roman Catholicism.
No. I mean, I do.
How does a guy like you get to heaven?
Doing good.
Have you been doing good?
I believe I have.
Have you been doing bad?
Every once in a while.
How often?
I don't know.
Okay. Should God reward you and send you to heaven, or should he punish you and send you to hell?
Reward.
You sure?
Yeah.
What about the laws you've broken?
I mean, God always says forgiveness. He can forgive everyone if he forgives you.
Yeah, that's right. There's something there about forgiveness. But let's get to that in just a second. If you're guilty, what should he do with you? The right thing for a just judge to do with a guilty criminal is...
Send him to jail.
Send him to jail. In this case, it would be to send him to hell,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Now, the forgiveness part. Where does that fit into this picture here? How does that work?
It's just not the same as... You can't really consider it the same as a justice system because they don't really forgive. I mean, they go by the facts. If you're guilty, you're guilty. You go to jail. If you're innocent, you don't. But by what... You know, religion says God will forgive you if you repent. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're innocent or guilty. I mean, if you have deep in your heart, you really repent, he will forgive you.
Yeah. Okay, but here's in hearing you say that, there's a problem, though. If God just says you're forgiven because you say you're really, really sorry, that isn't justice.
It's not just saying you're really, really sorry. You have to, it's from deep inside, you have to mean it, not just... be like, oh, I'm sorry I did this. It's like you do bad your whole life and wait till the moment before you die and then just say you're sorry. That doesn't
right.
work like that.
But here's what I'm still confused about, though. The whole issue of justice. What about the bad stuff that you've done? How does that get compensated for?
I mean, just erase it.
just,
I mean,
it's gone.
If the president has the power to do that, erase everyone's record. I mean, the president, every, I don't know how many years he gets to forgive those people for everything, whatever they did. I'm pretty sure God has a greater power than that.
Let's try this one, all right? And we'll let you scoot, all right?
All right.
Let's try this one. Let's say you're a guilty guy. You're standing in the courtroom of God's justice, and he knows the books. Okay, they're wide open. He knows everything you've done in secret, every deed done in darkness, every thought, everything you've failed to do. The gavel's coming down, and you're guilty, and he should punish you. But if somebody steps into the courtroom and says, Judge, I love that man, and I will take the punishment that he deserves, the judge could commute your sentence to that man, and you could be set free because he took the punishment for you. And justice then could be satisfied, and the judge can show mercy to you based on what that man did for you.
I don't know. I don't think that would work out. I don't think that's fair.
But that's, well, it's not fair for that guy.
Yeah.
But it's good news for you if you're the criminal, right?
Yeah.
That's the gospel, dude. That's what the Bible teaches, right? Isn't that the good news of the gospel?
I'm not sure.
You're the criminal. Jesus is the God-man who loves you, who took the punishment, the wrath of the Father, on your behalf by dying on a cross for you so that your court case can be dismissed. You've broken God's laws, but Jesus paid your fine.
All right.
So that you can go to heaven, not because you're a good guy, because you're not. You're like the rest of us. You're a bad guy. But you can be forgiven by a very good God because of what he did. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Have you ever heard that before?
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So here's the last question. If forgiveness is available for you so that you don't have to go to hell, you can have your slate wiped clean and be adopted as God's child and brought into a right relationship with the God who is presently angry at you. You used the word repentance a minute or two ago. What does that mean?
Deep inside, not just saying the words, but you are really, truly sorry for everything, all the bad things, breaking the commandments, everything that you have done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. And a turning from your sins. It's not that you become perfect, but you just, I don't want that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I want to go in his direction, not mine. There's one other thing you need to do to be saved. Repent and trust. It's repentance and faith. Kind of two sides of the same coin. You turn from your sins and you put your trust in Jesus, your fine payer. That's how you get your sins forgiven. You don't earn your way to heaven. It's been earned for you. And that way, he gets the credit for being a good God, for saving a bad guy like you. That's the gospel. Okay, so I'm going to scoot. Have you done that? Have you repented and put your trust in the Savior?
I have.
Really?
Yes.
When did that happen?
I mean, when I was a young kid. When I was still, you know, going to church, all that, and school. I went to a Catholic school. I was raised Catholic, so I went to a Catholic school. It's just, I mean, tell you the truth, with school and everything, you don't really get a chance to go back to the old ways and go to church and be, you know, do all the good things that you used to do. So
right, okay. So I'm not your judge. I don't send people to hell or send them to heaven. Okay, my last question. Tricky word. I know. Is Jesus precious to you?
Yes.
All right, dude. Yeah. See ya. Thanks for your chat. See ya, man. Goodbye. If he is, then why isn't he living that way? Please do the same. Don't be deceived. It should fall right out of your mouth if somebody says to you, what's going to happen to you when you die? Oh, it should just be so easy because it was so extraordinary when it happened. We've said it before, we'll say it again. Do you need to know the moment, the second that this happened when you got born again? No, not the moment or the second. But you should be able to look back in your life sometime and say, you know, I remember that season. I used to be living like that. Then God changed my heart, and now I'm living like this. I have new affections. If you will, there's three components, three parts of salvation. Because people can outwardly reform themselves. They can make themselves look good. Well, that doesn't mean you're saved. Now, if you're saved, that will happen. An outward difference. You are living a different lifestyle. But there's more, two parts, really. There needs to be a heart change. The
the inward affections, not just behaving a certain way so that people will think a certain thing, but because you want to, because you love this God who saved you. But that's not all there is to it either, because if you believe that Barney the dinosaur is the God, then you are without hope because you don't believe in the true God. So your theology needs to be straight too. You need to believe in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the fully God, fully man, Savior of the world. Not a Jehovah's Witness version, not a Mormon version, only the Jesus of the Bible, fully God, fully man. You've got to have a different lifestyle to prove you're a Christian. But that doesn't make you a Christian. You've got to have a different heart that proves you're a Christian. But that doesn't make you a Christian either. If your theology isn't right, please examine yourself. Don't show up on Judgment Day and hear the final sentence, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." It will chill you to the bones before you get thrown right into the flames, and there is no going back. So examine yourself today. Repent and put your trust in Him today. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.